Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Kent State, their name does something for people. When people hear that you're a Kent State grad, they're like, oh yeah, I have a lot of nurses like that, and they're good nurses. They want to hire you because you're from Kent State in their nursing program. They teach the art of nursing. They teach the therapeutic communication. They teach how to really care for the person and not just knowledge. Even when it's hard in classes, even when this is a new adjustment, the school itself has the people and the support that you need to be the best nurse that you can be.
Begin at Kent State University.
Well, we talked diet with Vinny Tortorich. He'll tell us who makes the best protein supplements. And you'll finally get a good answer on that. We'll get in a bunch of stuff. News as well. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Turbulent times. Cyber criminals, they love that. Sending emails, including Black Lives Matter and the subject lines. Installing malware called TrickBot on victims' computers. They're bad people. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. These are the new criminals. They're no longer stealing car stereos or TVs anymore. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. You can miss certain identity threats if you're just monitoring your credit alone. You need to do more. And that's where LifeLock comes in, a leader in identity theft protection. Detects a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. Protect yourself with a LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. So join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off. Back to the toolbox. We're inside another super set of the 70s. It's got to be commercial free. Brought to you by Subway. We liked Jared much better when he was fat. The dude abides with album sides. If you're looking for a reason to love the Eagles, I can't tell you why, but let's give this a try. Timothy B. Schmidt, the only California native at the Hotel CA, on vocals and bass, through the air and in your face. So turn it up and get down with the Eagles on the toolbox. Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Chloe Valdery. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and Vinny Tortorich stops by. And now, for a while, he also went by the name Lady A. But that was back in his drag queen days. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The choice better get a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love when you share the show, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Yeah, man.
And there's Vinny Tortorich, everybody. How you doing? How you doing, Vinny? Doing well?
I'm doing great. And by the way, I was just listening to the Judy Gold podcast, and she was fabulous. But her kid is going to Tulane, and you are correct. Our mascot was and still is water. It's water, and
I thought it was going to be a rabbi.
You know, Tulane is a Catholic school. They try to say it's only 40% Jewish, but I was there for 4 years, and I think I was the only. Well, I was an atheist, but the only Catholic in the entire.
Is it appropriate after the devastation of Katrina to have water as your mascot?
Yeah, that's bad news.
That's a bad take. That's a bad take.
Bad optics.
Bad.
That didn't fall short on me at all, Adam. And I'll tell you something else. I used to say this when I played football there. Our athletic director's name was Hyman Wall. And I would say to the other players, hey, come on. Hey, Hyman Wall, right? And they were like, what are you talking about? It's like, his name is Hyman Wall. His parents could have named him anything. They could have named him Great or Dry,
right,
or any other kind of wall, but they went with Hyman.
Good old Buster. I was a fan of that guy back in the day. Buster Hyman Wall. All right. So, Vinny, you had some predictions about people putting the weight on. Brian sort of went through the shake. I know you've been consulting with Brian. I have some questions as well for you. There's an NSNG summit that's coming up, and it's going to be streaming live for free, by the way, July 25th and 26th, Q&A experts, live demos and whatnot. So let's talk about quarantine, and let's talk about weight loss. And one subject you have here is importance of exercise, and not for weight loss, but the importance of exercise. Want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah, I do. But yes, I did have the prediction on this show at the beginning of COVID when I said, look, people are going to put on the COVID-15 in fat, and they should put on a COVID-5 in muscle. And as I predicted on the very next time I was on, I said, no one's going to pay attention to this, because if everyone really wanted to get in shape, there's no time like right now, because you can't say, well, work got in the way. Nobody was working. So that excuse was out the door. And I just heard yesterday that they're saying the average American put on 15 pounds. Oof. They said 16 pounds, but I predicted 15. So I was pretty close.
Can't we get to 19? The COVID-19? Yeah. Can we get to 19?
Brian's right.
I'm pretty sure, you know, some people went way past that. It's crazy. I saw some guys at my shooting club that I hadn't seen for a few weeks. I didn't recognize one guy. He put on that much weight.
Well, I think as I'm liking to say these days, you know, sort of safe rooms and octagons, I feel like some people are getting in the best shape of their life. Some people are putting on 25 pounds. There is no more middle anymore. Like, you know, they talk about the shrinking middle class. We just, this country is tired with the middle. Nobody cares about the middle. We're going for, you know, 4% body fat, or we're going for morbid obesity. Like, we are just going crazy, holy roller, born again, or full, you know, disembowel a chicken Santorian, fucking tear down every statue and burn every church. Like, we don't like the, evidently there's nothing good about the middle. We don't like it.
No, we don't. And I was yelling about that in my book, Fitness Confidential, 10 years ago. I said, we've lost the fitness middle class, and that's the most important part. You know, we want people, look, you've heard me say this time and time again. If you go back to Woodstock, these kids were high and drunk. And if you saw them, they were all ripped. And no one was doing a sit-up. There was no 24-hour fitness, no super gyms, no nothing. These kids, go look for any photo. Chris, you can pull them up. They were ripped like they had been doing sit-ups all day long. Yet you could go to a triathlon, and there are people who need to lose weight.
Oh, that's, you know, that's interesting. So it's interesting that if you took a picture of a acre of humanity at Woodstock, like you just took 1 acre, one square acre, and took a photograph of humanity and did the same thing at a Tough Mudder or a 10K, the people at the 10K would average 25 pounds more than the Woodstock people.
Now, listen, Chris, I know you're listening to the show. You proved me wrong with the Steven Tyler and Carly Simon thing. But I want you to pull up a Woodstock, just a random Woodstock picture of people without their shirts on versus any Tough Mudder today, because they're both rolling around in the mud. I guarantee it's going to be the other way around. That's Woodstock right
sinewy.
There.
We're looking at a picture of a sea of humanity, and I can't see anyone over 175 pounds. And
not a love handle be found.
No, they're svelte.
No, free love, but no love handles. Number one. Number two, I do think this was during a pandemic, by the way. I think we had in 1969. Yeah, I think we had, what did we have? Was it the swine flu or something? There, we had.
No. It was the
Asian.
Hong Kong flu.
Hong Kong flu. That's right. We were having. There was a pandemic in 69 when we had Woodstock.
I didn't know that.
No, didn't stop anybody.
No.
Mud cures all.
Listen, white lives matter. We got a party.
Oh, shit. Well, I thought you guys were just being delightfully racist. You're right. It was called the Hong Kong flu.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was back when you could call a flu by the country it started in. That is right. Now off the table.
I don't think the Spanish flu started in Spain, but yeah.
Yeah. What is, well, you could designate a country and label it for the rest of the life. But yeah, 69, I think, was the Hong Kong flu. And yeah. it was a pandemic, and we just partied right on through it.
Vinny.
And Vinny's, yeah.
When this whole thing is over, God knows when it will be. Hopefully soon, maybe early next year. Who knows? Whenever it's over, it's going to be the fucking salad days for Vinny. My people are going to be coming to him in droves. Like, I got to lose 15, 20, 25. Well, what do I do? It's Vinny, your time has come.
Brian, I'm getting that already, except for you. You're the only guy that called me and said, hey, man, I'm losing weight.
I need to put on weight.
Well, Vinny's the only one who studied the Zapruder film just to look at Finn people.
Yeah, I did. Even the guy who did the shooting that day was thin. I was in shape.
What? Well, there were two guys who did the shooting, but let's not get into that.
Or so we think.
Do you believe that?
There's a waif model on the grassy knoll, and then so what? How? What is? Well, let's talk about Brian Shake. Brian was talking about it. He was specific about it. I want to know about protein powder. We were talking about whey being better than soy. Soy's no good, right?
Can I just establish for the listeners who may be lost, if anyone's lost, I'm on a new medication. One of the side effects is weight loss and loss of appetite. So I've been losing a lot of weight unintentionally, and I reached out to Vinny for some tips on how to put on some good weight, some lean muscle weight, things like that.
Take wait, let me jump in one more time.
Please.
Is it weight loss and lack of appetite, or is it just lack of appetite that causes weight loss?
They list both because both happen. You're right. There could be a sort of chicken and the egg kind of thing. I wouldn't be surprised. But I am when I have been on the medication for a while, I am experiencing both loss of appetite. But I'm still trying to stuff myself with, like, God, whatever's for dinner or whatever's for lunch. But I'm still losing weight. So it's a bit of an uphill Sisyphean, you know, feat.
Well, you're staying keto, which is...
That's also a goal. And people have reached out to me and asked why. Or like, well, why would you stay keto? Just eat some pancakes. There is a lot of evidence that my doctor supports the cancer cells feed on sugar. And so you want to, you know, it's my mission to avoid as much sugar as possible.
So how say you, Vinny? Protein powder.
And Brian, I apologize because I got hit on Twitter with this and I didn't hear that show. And people go, what about Brian and a protein powder? I'm like, shit. This is a private conversation that's now out there, and I feel bad. So I was going, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
I only mentioned generally, Vinny, that you recommended protein increase to in form of powder to
right.
To help. But this was a friendship test, and you passed.
Oh, good. That's good to know. Okay, so here's the deal with Brian, and I'm going to answer your question too, Adam, about the pea protein or the soy protein. Brian called me because – He can't eat enough, and he's got a little muscle wasting going on. He wants to keep exercising and doing what he's doing, and he couldn't get enough food in him. I had the same problem when I went through chemo. I just couldn't eat. And when I did, I felt like I was full after two bites. It's a wonderful way to live if you can live like that your whole life. But Brian said, you know, I can't get enough meat in me. I can't get enough chicken and what have you. And I said, okay, we need to supplement with protein. And with that, there's only two types of protein you want to touch. One is a complete whey protein, which is derived from a dairy product, from cow's milk. The other is egg protein, the egg white protein. Whenever you get into pea protein, it's incomplete. When you get into soy protein, it's even more incomplete. And those have to be more bastardized, so they're not even good for you. So the only two you want to stick with are those two proteins. And that's only to supplement. And people are like, whoa, now you're endorsing a protein. No, I'm not endorsing anyone to go out and start drinking protein shakes willy-nilly. This is, he's supplementing on top of trying to eat as much meat, chicken, fish, eggs, pork as he can. This is to supplement that because he's just not getting what he needs right now. And no, I'm not trying to get Brian fat, which
a lot of I wish you would.
So why are you trying to get Brian fat? I'm like...
Do you have a brand of protein that you like?
Two. One is made by a company called Jarrow, J-A-R-R-O-W. And the only one you want is the plain, Plain is not vanilla. That's two different things.
Right.
Jarrow Plain, they make whey and egg white. The other company that does a great job is, he's a guy, his name is J. Robb, R-O-B-B, and he's got a plain egg white and a plain whey protein also. Both of those companies are great. I cannot vouch for any other company. With my clients over the years, when someone needed extra protein, those are the two ones I went to.
The only time plain and vanilla are the same is when you're having sex. That is the only time those two words mean exactly the same thing. But
plain
standard
vanilla sex.
Vanilla.
But when it comes to supplements, there is a difference there.
Yeah. You're 100% right. I hate that plain has become synonymous with vanilla, because vanilla is delicious. Like pure vanilla bean is amazing.
Right.
Vanilla Madagascar bean.
And by the way, Brian, if you want to take vanilla extract or just take a piece of vanilla and break it off and you shake and do it, it won't make it sweet because there's no sugar in it, right? It's just a little piece of vanilla. But it'll give it that good flavor.
Okay, good to know.
So, Vinny, you want to talk about the importance of exercise beyond weight loss and I guess fitness.
Yes. I heard a show with you a few weeks ago. I try to catch one or two shows a week. And you were talking about your rowing machine and trying to keep up with the guy on the rowing machine. And it got me thinking. There's no such thing as bad exercise. There's a couple of things about exercise. Exercise is a poor way to lose weight. I've had people tell me that they started training for a marathon, and when they got to the starting line, they did all the training. They were running 50 and 60 and 70 miles a week, and they got to the starting line of that marathon heavier than when they started, and that was the only reason for them to run the marathon. So exercise is a poor way to lose weight. We need to keep that in mind. Exercising too hard will do nothing except blow out all of your sugar. You'll become a sugar burner if you're in zone 3 or zone 4. So in other words, if you're above 80% of your aerobic capacity, you start burning sugar. So as soon as you get off of that machine or that run or that mountain or whatever you're doing, you're going to go, I need to murder a donut, or I noticed some pizza in the fridge, or I need ice cream right away. You want to stay in zone 2. Adam, I'll tell you what your zone 2 is. We're going to do you. You're 50.
Oh, please. Yeah. 50,
how old are you?
56.
Okay. We use as empirical data the number 180, not 220 like aerobic teachers did in the 80s. We take 180 minus your age. So you take 56 from 180 and you get
124.
Right. Okay. That is right around where you want to be, but because you're not a couch potato, you're a guy who exercises, you can add up to 5 clicks to that. So if you're up around 129 or 130, you're still in zone 2.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a rowing machine, that's very, if you're rowing correctly, you know, at the right, you know, doing the catch and the release and the pull and the whole thing, if you're doing it all correctly, you can stay below 130. And
yeah.
You can still.
Well, I'm trying to think, because I got to figure out a way to break it down, because I just shoot for 6,000 meters in a half hour session. I just get above 6,000 meters, sometimes 61, 62, rarely 63.
Where's your stroke rate? It's going to like 21, 22, 23. Do you know?
I got to take a look at that. It's all on it. I'll look at it and like email it to you. I just go, if I get above 6,000 meters, that means I'm breaking a sweat and going at it with a pretty consistent pace, but not, you know, not a sprint.
I'm going to guess you're a non-smoker. You're probably below 130, because I yank right at 7,000 per half an hour, and I'm usually, my average heart rate is about 123, 124. So I'm guessing, you know, give or take, you're right there.
7,000 is brisk. That is vigorous. As a guy,
after it.
A guy who's done in a half hour, the best I've ever done is like 6,300 and change, maybe 64, close to 6,400, but that's on a, that's going for it. 7,000 is spirited.
Now I feel like I was bragging, and I was. That was kind of a brag. But the bottom line is I was a professional mountain bike racer for a couple of years, and I kayak like there's no tomorrow, and I run, and I climb mountains and everything. So my aerobic capacity is a little different than the average person.
Yeah.
Just to give you an example, my new rowing machine came in 24 days ago, and I made a goal for myself. I asked the woman at Concept 2, I said, what's the average that people do in a year? And she said, oh, if you get 1,000,000 meters in a year, we send you a t-shirt. And I went, okay, I have a half a year and I want that t-shirt. So I'm going to make that my goal. And I'm not a month in yet. And I just went past 250,000 meters.
Damn.
So I'm going to get that t-shirt.
So by Thanksgiving.
A new goal.
So you're sitting on that thing longer than a half hour a day for that.
I'll watch a movie.
You know what I actually find is helpful when you're on a rowing machine and you can kind of do it as opposed to some other forms of exercise. If I make a phone call and get into a good conversation with someone, you can do it. Like, it's not optimal, but you can have, you'll know I'm on the rowing machine if you're doing most of the talking, because that'll be the only time we have a conversation where you get to squeeze words in edgewise. But I've had conversations on it, and the time, you know, it's all this thing. It's like, how do we get this time to go by? So if you hook yourself up to the rowing machine and all you're doing is staring at a crack in the wall across the room from you, that half hour is going to feel like 5 hours. If you put in some earbuds and you listen to a podcast you like, it's going to speed it up. If you put on SportsCenter and turn the sound down and listen to a podcast and watch guys dunking basketballs or playing football or something, it'll go by. But if you have a good conversation on the phone, that it goes fast. So
I do that on the bike all the time, because the bike, just time doesn't pass when you're on a spinner.
Right.
And I'll make that call to my mom, my brothers, you know, everyone that I owe a phone call to, and they're none the wiser. I keep it at 125, you know, my heart rate, and they can't even hear me breathing. And,
it doesn't always work as well as it does for you guys. 'Cause I'll never forget, I was on a very brisk walk, like I, you know, half jog, half walk. And I was talking to my dad, and he finally just stopped talking in the middle of it and goes, why are you breathing like a sex maniac? So it doesn't work for everybody. But I might have. Yeah.
Speaking of sex, spinner is awesome as it pertains not only to exercise, but sexually as well, unlike vanilla. So
you guys have been talking about stroking and yanking the whole time.
You want spinner, not vanilla or plain. All right. So Vinny, for you, so we're going to get into the emotional side of exercise, or the whatever side of exercise.
Yeah. You know, the bottom line is that we all need it. We don't get enough of it anymore. You know, everyone is sitting around, you know, wringing their hands going, what are we going to do with this pandemic? What are we going to do? And, you know, the pandemic is going to do what the pandemic is going to do. In my opinion, it's not going to stop until everyone gets it. You know, it's not going to work any other way. So stop wringing your hands. Get out and do something. Don't, you know, there's nothing worse than sitting around doing nothing. I've used this pandemic not only to try to get a T-shirt from Concept 2, but I'm in the final stages of doing my second documentary.
Really?
I was able to do that in 4 months. Yeah. I got all the extra film. I started working on it. Peter Pardini was busy with another project. He was a mentor to me. He said, hey, do this, do that. And I've done another 90-minute documentary that's going to be out in a couple of months.
I want to know. So let's talk about the subject. And as I've said, you know, early on, you can do the time or the time can do you. You know, you can get out of this with a documentary under your belt instead of 15 pounds around your belt line. Hey, Max Zapata, tell me about the Hong Kong flu in 1969. Drill down on that a little, or find some info on that, because it's curious to me. But what is the second doc, Vinny?
What happened was, when I did the first documentary, I'm sitting there in a chair in a fireside chat. At the same time when I was filming that, I did a completely different set where I had a sweater on sitting against a different backdrop and just asked a bunch of other questions right into the camera. And Peter Pardini was very instrumental in doing that because we realized when we were shooting it, I knew what I wanted. In the first movie, you know, most people go to the woodshed. You always hear about these musicians going to the woodshed. I went to my shed where I make all my ammunition, and I just sat there and I was making ammunition, and Peter was sitting there with a notepad, and I said, I want this, 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 and this. But as I did that, I said, I also want this, 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 and this. So when we shot all of these experts, we got way more information from them than we needed.
Right.
Enough to, now we got your lips wet on that first documentary, right? We got that going. Now this is a deep dive. I just open it up and, you know, you got the history in the first one. Here it is. Here's the deep science. Here are these guys talking long form. And here's me asking the questions from a different angle. We literally shot two movies when we were trying to shoot the first one. I just had to figure out how to become a movie maker. It turns out it's not that difficult.
No, not documentaries aren't. Rom-coms are pain in the ass, but documentaries are different.
I couldn't imagine what you go through to do a rom-com. And by the way, I love that second movie you did, Road Hard.
Well, you got to think. You have to do it. First off, you have to do it all in 18 days. Like, it all has to just be shot in 18 days. There's no picking it up or putting it down. You know, you do a doc, you go, hey, well, we want to talk to Robert Redford about Paul Newman's Racing. And I go, well, you can talk to him in September in Manhattan. And then you go, okay, all right, well, we'll wait for 3 months and then we'll go interview him. That's how that works. In rom-coms, it's like you got 18 or 19 days. You got to get it all in. By the way, the CDC estimated that the Hong Kong flu killed 1 million people worldwide. I think word about 500,000 plus worldwide, at least that seems to be the estimates. I think the last estimate I saw, 500,000 plus worldwide for COVID-19, and 34 to 100,000 in the U.S. But we were, you know, 1968, 69, we were probably down 100,000 units in the citizen department. So,
you mean 100 million?
Oh, sorry, 100 million. Yeah, so we were kind of on the same par pace that we're on now, or somewhere in that zone. So it's interesting that we had the same sort of thing going on from the same sort of region that did a lot of devastation, and they still did Woodstock. All right. Hey, Vinny.
Show must go on.
That's right. I had a couple of thoughts. One is, I also want to get to you, your long-term and short-term goals when it comes to getting fit. I had a great, speaking of documentaries, I had an insane conversation with my dad about 3 hours ago. I was sitting at his house.
You can just say a conversation. Yes.
I was, and I'll let all of you try to figure this one out. I was sitting at his house. I was taking apart the valves on his flugelhorn and oiling the valves on his flugelhorn for him.
It never stops.
I know. And he said he's become a fan of Dennis Prager, which is a good thing. And he's reading the Rational Bible, I think it's the Rational Bible.
I think it's the name of the book.
Anyway, it's a beautiful book. Dennis wrote it. It's kind of a, I don't know, the Bible put in plain talk. And my dad's reading it. And my dad's a big fan of Dennis Prager now. And so every time I see my dad, he goes, you think I could like chat up Dennis Prager? Like, I think I could talk to Dennis Prager. And I go, I think I could probably get him to call you if you wanted to talk to him.
Here's the 800 number. Call him between 7 and 11.
That's right.
New callers only.
Make sure and tell him your age and the city you're calling from. And so he goes, I go, yeah, I guess I could probably get him to give you a call. And he's like, yeah, I'd like to really talk to him. And I said, okay. And then he said, are you guys doing any things together? And I said, well, no, not really. We did some colleges and some speaking events and so forth. But now with the whole pandemic thing, there's really no more going out and playing college campuses or any speaking engagements to be found. And then I paused and I thought, you know, I did a movie with him. And he goes, yeah, okay. So you think you'd get him to call? And I was like, anyway. I said, well, you know, in the movie, we do a few speaking engagements, and it's chronicled in the movie that I did with your new favorite, Dennis Prager. So it's in the movie. So if you want to see us, you know, up on stage together at a college, and then you could just watch the movie. And he's like, yeah, okay. Anyway, do you think he could call me? And I'm like, I was driving home and I was thinking, I don't know if he thinks I'm kidding. I don't know what's going on. He loves Dennis Prager. I did a movie with Dennis Prager where it was he and I were the stars of the movie. And I keep telling him that. And he keeps acting. He doesn't ask what the name of it is. And I don't know. Yeah, yeah. My family's so confusing to me. I don't know if they think I'm lying or they just think I'm saying things like, I'm going to get this beach towel, make a cape out of it, and run around the house screaming, I'm a Dennis Prager friend man or something. Like, what is going on? What do you think the process is? I've said it to him.
I think the answer's in the question.
He keeps telling me, I like Dennis Prager. I'd like to see more of Dennis Prager. And he keeps telling him, and Dennis likes you, he says, right? I go, yes, he does. We made a film together. And he goes, okay. That's as far as it gets.
I need to stop applying logic to these conversations.
Yes, I think you should.
Is it possible? Is it possible your dad saw the movie and doesn't want to give it up, like that he liked it? Because he didn't express any interest in his new favorite person being in a movie with his son.
Or might it be a little John Stewart syndrome with
I said the answer's in the question. You kept saying us, we, I'm in the movie too. And now we got to move past that.
How do these people, your mom and dad, find each other? They both seem to have this disdain for anyone you actually know.
The gatekeeper and the keymaster. They're made for each other.
Yeah. They were at a mixer, and somebody grabbed the microphone and yelled, "Who hates kids?" And I think they're both their hands flew up, and they spotted each other from across the room.
Hey, who doesn't like things?
Yeah, over here. It's the weirdest thing in the world. He won't ask what the name of the movie is. Or, like, I've told him in the past, like, you can just get stepmom to go on the computer and just Google in Prager Corolla movie or Prager movie or something. It'll just come up. You could just watch it.
It's very easy to find.
If you just Google Dennis Prager and hit image, I'm sure it'll be a picture of you and Dennis. If you Google me, there's a picture of you and me together and me and Howie Mandel. Google would figure it out. Your dad can do it without doing anything else.
But the thing that's always been vexing to me is, like, I've always pushed it through the prism of, oh, they don't like cars, or they don't like building, or they don't like comedy, or they don't like whatever, football or boxing, or they don't like UFC. They don't like any of that stuff. But you do like Dennis Prager, so what gives?
Yeah, all that may be true, but between the car that he wanted you to lease that he never drove and the trumpet that he needed you to buy, but it wasn't the right one, there's something about the act of making you the messenger boy and the whipping boy is something that he needs. He could Google it. He could get someone else to Google it, but he needs you to suffer and toil.
I don't. The thing that makes it all insane is they never understand how insane it sounds to be telling someone you star in a movie with someone you're a huge fan of and not ask what the name of the movie is.
Yep.
That seems bizarre. I don't know. Brian, who do you like? Who's your guy?
Anything you have. Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll.
That's right.
I star in a movie with that guy.
Oh, no shit. Tell me all about it. That's amazing.
Yeah, see, that's kind of how things would work. Normally would work if you're into somebody and then your son goes, I started a movie with that guy. It's bizarre to me.
I'm going to tell you, Adam, in a related story, if my parents think I might know someone, when I was in Hollywood, they would go, hey, we just saw this guy on television. You wouldn't happen to know him, would you? Right. You know, they would actually do it the other way.
Yeah, that's normal. Normal parents are like over it. I told you my dad texted me out of the blue one day 5 years ago. It's like, Brian, I know you're down there in Hollywood. Please don't get into Scientology. I'm like, what the fuck do they want with me?
Scientology.
That's what he said.
All right, let me hit cuts, t-shirts, and menswear. They're menswear staple, but they're plagued by shrinkage and bacon neck, color fade, wrinkles, stretching. It's all bad times. Cuts clothing completely changed the game. Quality and style for the office or on a date night. Anywhere and anywhere in between. Fit fabric and function. Pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, and retains a shape. These are great t-shirts. God, what we've come a long way in that t-shirt department, man. You can choose your collar, V-neck, crew neck. I happen to like the crew neck myself or the Henley as well. And they have a classic fit. Classic hem, classic curve. New Pika Polo is like no other polo you've ever worn. Cuts officially reinvented the polo as well. It's the only shirt worth wearing. These things are really nice. They're top shelf. Once you wear Cuts shirts, it's impossible to choose a regular t-shirt again. It is Cuts, right, Dawson?
See why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, even podcast hosts. It seems like everyone is wearing Cuts these days. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Adam. That's cutsclothing.com/Adam for 15% off of the only shirt worth wearing.
Vinny, final thoughts before we bid you adieu.
Yeah, you talked about short-term goals, long-term goals.
Right.
I believe it when it comes to fitness. You know, my short-term goal was, well, you know, to get that million meters on the rowing machine. So then the goal has to become shorter. You know, each month it's got to be this amount in order to get that in a half a year. You know, so those are short-term goals. Longer-term goals, my buddy called me from New York the other day. He goes, hey, let's do Mont Blanc again. And I was like, okay. And then I thought about it for a second. I said, okay, this time we're going from the church to the top, back down one day.
What is that? Where is that and how long is that?
Well, most people, you know, go to a certain point on one day. They'll take a trolley up to 8,000 feet and then go to, you know, and stay somewhere on the mountain in a hut and then go up the next day and then come back down to a hut. The fastest known times, they got guys who run it from the bottom. These guys are beyond human. A guy named Kilian Jornet is the fittest athlete on the planet. He can run to the top and back down in 7 hours. But he's got people handing him water. He doesn't have to carry a 40-pound pack, right? He's got running shorts on, and when he gets up to a certain level on the glacier, he pulls on clothes. For us, we have to carry a pack. I want to leave, you know, midnight one night, boom, get to the top, get back down. So that's a longer-term goal. That's going to take time to train for it. That's not an hour and 15 minutes a day on a rowing machine. That's, I need to go find a local ski slope here in Virginia and get my heavy boots on and a backpack and go all winter long. You know, and
Europe's,
still,
by the way, Europe's highest mountain, so says Max Zapata.
It's Western Europe's highest mountain. There's one in, that's higher in Russia somewhere. It's tough getting there now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, I like climbing still. I don't do any really tough stuff anymore. I don't do any rock climbing, or I'm not doing much with the picks anymore. I'm too old for it. It's too much arthritis. But I'm still moving, and I think everyone should. Everyone should find out what they can do, you know, at any age, and just do it. And you go, well, wait, man, what, are you rich? You don't have to work? No. You know, I had to do a movie during the pandemic. I didn't have to. I wanted to. I also, I started a company, NSNG Foods, and it looked like we were going to run behind because we had to get different people to supply different things for NSNG Foods. But that's opening up on the same day that the summit is opening up, right on time. My goal was before the last day of July, that company would be selling product. And, you know, so yeah, I have to work every day. So everything, whether it's work or whether it's exercise or whatever, all you have to do is wake up and go, okay, you know, I have a magic wand. What do I want to do today?
Well, I was talking to Dr. Drew when I was taking a walk today, and I was just on the phone with Drew, and not to put Vinny out of business, but I said, personal trainer, dietitian, really? I mean, we all know what to do. Just fucking start moving and stop eating so much. We always think of Gina when I talk about snack wells. I wish there was a shortcut. I wish there was a snack well version of life where you go, I like fudge. Good. I'm going to eat snack wells and then I'm going to lose weight. And it always turns out to be the worst thing you could possibly put in your mouth. There's nothing, as it pertains to the society we're going into, whether you're talking about schoolwork, homework, parents, cops, whatever it is, there's only diet and exercise. And you can do it in a prison cell if you want. But that's it. It's super boring. And it just means you got to fucking sweat and there's no snack wells in your future. But there's it applies to every facet of life. Just get used to it. There's no shortcuts. There's 200 million diet books. There doesn't need to be any diet books. You already know. Drink a bunch of water, move around a lot. That's it.
And by the way, you mentioned shortcuts. When has a shortcut ever worked in life? You know, you give a kid a trophy for not even showing up. That's a shortcut. How's that working out? You know, whenever, I knew in L.A. especially, I knew a lot of these kids who got money because their grandfather died. And he happened to be the guy who had Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer or any of these companies. That's a shortcut in life. Those people aren't doing well.
No,
I know those.
It doesn't work. It doesn't physically work. The last thing I saw on the computer before I came over here is, Presley's kid killed himself, like 27-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Killed himself. Look, the suicide rate amongst kids that grow up with recognizable names behind them, I guarantee you, is higher than the average middle-class suicide rate of a kid you've never heard. Why is that? You know, it doesn't work. You can't just be handed shit. It just doesn't. It just doesn't work. All right.
Does not
work. What's that?
Idle does not work. You can't be an idol all the time. You know, think about this. You know, when you think about climbing Mont Blanc or doing a 36-hour bicycle race nonstop, I never remember those finish lines, right? The finish line was not even the race. I remember all the training and all the laughing and all of the, you know, heartache during the training and this injury and that injury and getting past it and getting to the starting line was way more important in life for me. You know, every time I started a new business, from the time I owned my fireworks business in Louisiana until now, you know, everything I've ever done has never been about the end result. It was always the process. Everything is in the process. Football. Think about football. You played football. You know, you can remember the games, but think about those practices. Think about your buddies in practice and all the stuff you guys went through and you worked together, you know, to win a game. That's the part you really remember. If you really get into your heart of hearts, that's what life is all about.
Yeah. No, always. And that's what built the camaraderie. The games didn't really build the camaraderie. The practices, the drilling. Yeah. Built the camaraderie. All right, Vinny, thanks for joining us as per usual. The NSNG Summit is coming up July 25th and 26th, and you can reserve a free seat at nsngsummit.com. Thanks, Vinny. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Gina Enbald right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I wanted to play you guys a quick clip. I didn't get to it in the first half, but I think you guys would find this interesting, and it may be in Gina's news or not, but the Ghislaine Maxwell story. Gergis is interesting in that he knows a lot about the law, but as we all know, she picked an interesting attorney. And
I didn't know that.
She picked El Chapo's prosecutor. So I, yeah. So I'm talking to Mark, and here's where experience comes in. You know, Mark goes, that's a very curious choice for your defense attorney. And he said, if she wanted a defense attorney, and presumably she has all the money she needs, she'd go with, I don't know, Ben Braffman or some guys like that out of New York. She'd go with these guys that specialize in defense. You know what I mean? She's not going with a defense attorney. She's going with a rollover attorney. She's going with a deal cutter. She's not
the plea deal guy.
So she got the plea deal attorney, not the defense. So, you know, Bill Cosby and Weinstein are getting, they got defense guys.
I would imagine whatever information she has, if she's willing to share it, is far more valuable than, you know, whatever money she could spend on an attorney.
Right. And so,
I guess.
Well, no, what they're basically saying is what Mark is saying, through your selection of attorneys, you're not going to avoid prison by beating this case. You're going to avoid prison by spilling your guts and turning in a lot of other people. Right. That's what you're saying. So it's now the thing that makes life interesting is that's all you really need to know about where this thing is heading, right? By who she chose to defend her. I carved out a little 90-second clip of this. I think it's going to basically just restate what we just said, but I think it'd be interesting if you hear it from Garagus's mouth.
The interesting thing also about this case since last week is she has hired as her defense lawyer the gentleman who was the prosecutor against El Chapo.
So why him?
I think because she's cooperating. I think that she picked him. She wants somebody. He was at the Southern District. I think maybe Gary will find his name.
So you know.
I think she's cooperating based on, I don't know anything other than connecting dots here.
No, but you know, as a very experienced attorney, that if you were going to get ready to do battle, then you might want this guy.
Christian Everdell.
Correct. That's him.
And if you're getting ready to cooperate, you might want to look. It's like they're all dogs. You're going hunting. You're going fishing. You want one that's a water dog because you're shooting at duck, shooting at geese. You want a bloodhound because you're trying to catch a fox or whatever. You know, it's like they're all dogs, but they kind of do different things. And if somebody said, he's got a Labrador, you go, he's going duck hunting. Yeah. And the person said, I'm not saying what I'm doing. It's like, yeah, but you're not chasing a fox with the Labrador. So, like, there's different applications for different attorneys.
Absolutely. And she's smart enough and savvy enough, and she's had enough time in the crosshairs, which goes back to your question, why didn't she flee? She obviously didn't. She thinks she's either got enough of a defense, which I don't think is the case, because if she was going to fight this, this would not have been the pick.
So so not only does she feel like she has enough in her safe, duplicates, tapes, pictures, records, or whatever, but she then gets an attorney that can help facilitate that process.
Deal.
So if you are somebody whose name or likeness may be in that vault of hers, I don't know.
What are you recommending they do?
Well, look.
What's your recommendation?
You know, there could be suicides. I don't know. There could be some fleeing of countries. I don't know. Look, everybody whose name may be in that vault has means. I mean, they're all.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
They're all.
That's how they made the list.
They're somewhere between, you know, 62 and 80, and they got a ton of dough, but not that much time. So I don't know what that means.
Well, and speaking of suicides, they have her on, they say they have her on, you know, 24-hour watch, and they took all of her clothes. So she's in like a paper dress, essentially, in paper clothing, because they at least are wanting the media and wanting us to know they're doing everything they can to keep her alive.
Mm, yeah. I don't, I think they even have, I don't know, they have a cellmate or they have somebody in there with her. And then either way, very
the buddy system.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be interesting.
It's It sounds obvious, the point of being pithy, but I've seen so many tweets from celebrities and the people who are known people who are like, oh, Bill Clinton's quaking in his boots, or Donald Trump better watch out, or whatever your side is. And if there's nothing else that can unify us in 2020, if we're so distant, the one thing that should unify us is whoever's involved in this, they should go down in flames. Whatever side they're on, whether you like them or not, these are horrible crimes.
And you want to talk about abuse of power. You know, we act like everybody starts a business and employs a few people. You know, AOC hates their guts. You know, they're taking the money. They got the big corner office and stuff. This is the ultimate abuse of power. You're having sex with, you know, 14-year-olds.
And it was actually funny. I don't know if you saw this exchange.
She's been given a cellmate, so says Max Pana. Sorry.
Somebody watch her. The Twitter exchange between Chrissy Teigen and some, I don't know, troll or some guy who's accusing her of having been on flights with Epstein and buddy-buddying with them. And she was like, first of all, something to the effect of, first of all, that's not true. That never happened. But let's entertain your lie for a second. If I was back in those days, if I was on a plane with Epstein, I would have been a victim.
She'd been the victim, yeah.
So it's just like an easy way to shut down that ridiculousness.
I want to be married to Chrissy Teigen, because every day when I came downstairs after waking up, she would either be fighting with someone on Twitter or baking me banana bread.
That's true.
What a life.
Or she could even be in the kitchen with the banana bread in the oven firing off some angry tweets at some troll. But either way, that's a woman of action. I like I love the concept of banana bread. You want to know why? And I love the concept of the woman behind banana bread. And the reason I like that, well, because you have two qualities. One is I like to bake. The other is this food we paid for is going bad. Mm-hmm. I must snap into baking action. That is a great quality. It's a very simple, quiet quality. Other people are like, fuck it. Have Grubhub bring the banana bread over. I'm going to throw away these bananas.
Yeah. She actually, I think she was doing something for a cookbook or something. There was a time where she was on Twitter begging people for brown bananas because she needed to make banana bread that moment. And she didn't have they weren't the right amount of squishy. So she's like, I will meet you at the corner of whatever it was, you know, Pico and Sunset. And I thank you so much to Bob who met me and brought me his brown bananas. So she takes this shit very seriously.
Yeah, she crowdsourced 6 brown bananas from Twitter in 2017 and sent her mom to pick them up.
Yeah, her mom, all she saw was Lamar Odom standing on Pico with a boner. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, moving forward, only bringing up these two stories because, frankly, they are everywhere from the weekend. Many took to social media to express their pleasure and displeasure, depending on who you agree with the CEO of Goya Foods. He praised President Trump at the White House at an event on Thursday. And this really split the room because many people were calling on a big boycott for Goya products. The other side is calling for a boycott of Goya products. And I don't know who's been buying Goya or not buying Goya before this, but people are now really energized about it. One person even suggested to show your support, you buy $10 worth of Goya products and you drop them off at a food bank.
What do they make? They do canned beans.
Beans.
And what else?
They're known for beans, right?
I guess. I didn't know
that. Salsa.
Beans, cookies, diced tomatoes, oils. Cookies.
I can't tell if I've been staring at labels my whole life and they haven't been registering or it's a regional thing and it's not here. You know what I mean? Like, like, did I know what that was? Or, but anyway, this is kind of which if you've got a product, which you don't want a straight boycott. You want a boycott meets a boycott, which just gets you out there. And moves product. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, you know, we're blessed to have this president and really heaped a lot of praise on him. So now all of a sudden we're talking about Goya Foods and I could have gone the rest of my life and never brought it up. So yeah probably not a bad thing. The other thing everyone's talking about, hoo boy, Red Table Talk. Jada Pinkett. My God.
I saw some
you
of
have
that.
To know. Yeah. That you had to have caught some TMZ at some point.
Yeah.
So let me try and break this down, and we have a video. We'll let Jada explain a lot of it, but people are fascinated with this August Alsina entanglement with Jada Pinkett Smith, as she called it, and everyone's making fun of her for calling the, you know, affair relationship an entanglement. But Jada and Will kind of hash it out. I'll play that for you in a second. It seems that this kid, or he's 27, August Alsina, was introduced to them by their son, Jaden.
What is and the table talk? Is this like...
It's like, it's Jada's show with her daughter and her mother. And you kind of, like, it's, remember we played a Snoop clip where she brought him to the red table and made him answer for the Gayle King comments and that sort of thing. So now she's bringing herself to the red table. Will's on the other side and they're hashing it out. They basically were on a break. And I guess this August kid had some health problems that the whole family got behind him and was trying to help him through. And I will, I'll explain more, but I'll let Jada and Will explain.
His boner won't go down.
You and I were going through a very difficult time.
Yeah.
And we decided.
I was done with your ass.
Yeah, you kicked me to the curb.
I was done with you.
Yeah.
We marriages have that, though. Yeah, marriages have that.
Yeah, we basically, we broke up.
We decided that we were going to separate for a period of time, and you go figure out how to make yourself happy, and I'll figure out how to make myself happy.
Well, at that particular point in time, it was indefinite.
Yeah, I really felt like we could be over.
We were over.
And then what did you do, Jada?
Well, you know, I think from there, you know, as time went on, I got into a different kind of entanglement with August. One thing I want to get clear about and clean up, one of the things that was kind of swirling in the press about you giving permission, which is, you know, the only person that can give permission in that particular circumstance is myself.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But what August was probably trying to communicate, because I could actually see how he would perceive it as permission, because we were separated amicably.
Yeah.
And I think he also wanted to make it clear that he's not a homewrecker.
What year is that? What year was the breakup?
This was recent.
Is this this is recent?
Because August is only 27.
Oh. We now return to Pussy Whipped with Will Smith.
But how cool is he on like a ton of beta blockers, or how cool is a cucumber is he being about all this?
You know how when you get to a certain point, like you go, it's kind of like in Defending Your Life when Rip Torn was explaining that the food wouldn't taste good to the small brain, but when you get to a certain point, the poi tastes good, or like to a dog whose sense of smell is 1,000 times greater than ours, shit smells good to them. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you can get so evolved that this stuff just doesn't, maybe you're so evolved as a human being that it just doesn't affect you. I like the entanglement. It sounds like how they invented the Reese's peanut butter cup. Like they were running, her pussy ran into his dick when they turned the corner, pow. Entangled.
Peanut butter cups.
Two great flavors.
And this is 4.5 years ago.
4.5 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. So he was 23-ish, 22, 23.
Oh, God. You know, I talk a lot of shit about my parents, but I want to thank them publicly now for never filming a conversation they've ever had. So I don't have to fucking be haunted by this shit for the rest of my life. Because this shit's there. You know what I mean? I mean, their kids are plenty old enough to digest all this shit.
Their kids are on the show. So she said the relationship ended, and she said she and Smith reconciled and now are at a place of unconditional love. And but the one that really set off the memes and the viral jokes was that she called it an entanglement, which I think will now be the new co-parent.
Consciously uncoupled.
Consciously uncoupling. Yes, thank you.
And also, like, he's probably sitting there going, yeah, I fucked 4 Lakers cheerleaders in that time period, so I'm still mathematically ahead of the game for this
Keep
breakup.
Keep that close to the vest.
Yeah.
And probably around the same age, too, 23, 24.
He's fucking Will Smith. It's not like he couldn't bang a couple of groupies or floozies at a hotel. Or like, he could have definitely went out and had some fucking fun, right?
That's a good point. So it's much easier to sit there and look like the bigger man when you have your own stories to tell. But let her go ahead and and say her piece and look like the world's best husband.
Jada Pinkett is like interesting because she's super proud and she's kind of feel like she's out of problems. And so she's just like drilling down on everything that's going on in her head. And I don't know. I don't think she acts anymore. Does she? Does she take roles?
The last thing I can remember her in, don't act like you guys don't know, Magic Mike XXL. She played this like madam named, I want to say Rome. And it was quite a performance.
Hmm. And was she in like one of those, I don't know.
She's filming The Matrix 4 right now.
She's filming The Matrix 4. Okay.
Mm, I prefer Magic Mike.
And she was in Angel Has Fallen.
Oh, Angel Has Fallen? I should have known that.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Sorry. What else you got, Gina?
Guess who's back in the news and why? Does the name, I know it'll ring a bell to Adam, Dr. Walter Palmer ring a bell? The second I tell you why. Walter Palmer. He is Mr. Cecil the Lion Hunter.
Oh,
he's a dentist.
Oh, it's a dentist.
Yeah.
I need a dentist.
Oh, you got me with a doctor.
You got me with doctor. I need a dentist.
Oh, he's a doctor.
Yeah, I know.
He is back. Oh, please take that off the screen. I'm going to throw up.
What did he do?
Well, we have another one coming because he is back in the news. He shot another big animal.
This motherfucker.
And somehow he can't stop. He's said to have slaughtered, according to the New York Post, a protected ram in Mongolia. It's huge. It's a giant. It's like the largest wild sheep in the world.
Whoa.
For $100,000 bucks for the kill. And the hunter prompted, you know, he's the one who everybody targeted 5 years ago, Cecil the Lion. This one is a dead Altai Argali. That is the wild sheep that we're talking about. It is huge. And we're looking at the picture right now. The image posted on social media shows a pair posing with it, though their faces are cropped out. And according to the World Wildlife Foundation, the Argali, that particular ram, is legally protected by Mongolian law. Hunting is banned, hunting it. And internationally, the species is officially classed as near threatened. So this guy went back for round two.
Here's the problem with Mongolian law. All you need is whatever money is in the ashtray of your SUV, and you can probably go right around Mongolian law.
Probably right. That's Mongolian funny. Law.
Worst primetime ABC offering from the 90s ever.
Semo order, Mongolian law.
That's right. It's like all this guy had to do is avoid killing another endangered species and taking a photograph of it and putting it on the internet for him to get back to life as normal, but he couldn't do it.
Couldn't be done.
He had
an itch. He had to scratch it.
God, I don't, I get the whatever, I get the Vinny thing. You know, I want to climb that mountain. I don't get the, I want to go shoot something. I get the part where you travel and the part where you have adventure and the part where you're, you know, out of doors and, you know, even the part where you go bow hunting or hunting and like kill it and use the meat, you know, and, you know, get the venison or the elk or whatever it is and make elk steaks, or it's kind of me like fishing in a certain way. But I just want to shoot something that's notable. Sounds like
what it is.
I don't know, but you find the leader of a banana republic or something. Like it almost sounds. It sounds like an assassination. Like I want to
the ultimate prey.
Yeah, I want to shoot the Archduke of Ferdinand. Like what? You just want to say like I shot this super unique thing, and like anyone can shoot a deer, I guess, or catch a marlin.
And I look, I know nothing about trophy hunting, less than nothing. But if you're paying $100,000 to do this, they don't just send you out into the park, you know, or send you out into the mountain range and say good luck to you. There's somebody facilitating this, helping you, you know, probably holding your goddamn elbow in the right way so you get the right shot, you know? So it's not, I would imagine, and I don't know, please don't tweet me because I'm telling you, I don't know. But you're not just out there man versus nature. You're getting a lot of help that comes with you.
I'm speaking about this similarly from a place of ignorance, but trophy hunting always seemed like rock and roll fantasy camp. Like you come back, you're not a fucking rock star. You paid a bunch of money to hang out with rock stars and you got a guitar. Good for you. You got a fucking lion's head on your wall. all. You're not you're not a death-defying hunter. You paid $100,000 to have a number of guides take you to kill this animal.
Yeah. Unlike space camp, where you do return an actual astronaut.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. You get the patch to prove it.
I kind of felt, I felt the same way about, climbing Mount Everest. You have these Sherpas carrying yes. everything. They're setting out a table. They're making yeah. a hot stew every night. They're setting your tent
oxygen.
Up. They're
yeah.
breaking it down again. Like, at a certain point, is that, I mean, it's still an achievement, but you have everyone literally doing the heavy lifting.
You're not surrendering Hillary. You fucking have people carry you up there.
Well, right. And that's the other thing. They've been talking for years, and I'm not sure where they are with it, of outlawing oxygen tanks on the mountain. Because they say if you really can't do it yourself, then if you can't breathe up there, then you shouldn't be there. Because the Sherpas yeah. can breathe up there. They're calibrated. But there was talk of that as well.
A lot of Sherpas die, by the way. Mm-hmm. During that process. And then also, I was thinking about that restaurant. Was it Max Zapata in San Diego
yeah.
that has the picture of Cecil on it? They're going to have to make some room for Roddy
yeah.
now, right?
Ram.
Roddy the Ram.
Well, whatever. They're calling them. It's got to have whatever. It needs to be alliterated, whatever
of
that
course.
Is. And I don't know what the Ram, if the Ram had a name, so we got to give him a name, and that
yeah.
makes sense.
I like
to
Roddy.
Me. But if they split, they may have to split the mural.
Yeah.
Roddy. All right. Wait, hold on, Gina. Let me hit LegalZoom, yep. and then we'll go to our next story. LegalZoom, it's a world of challenges out there. Oh, yes, it is. You need legal help to overcome a lot of these challenges. Good. There's LegalZoom. Wondering the best way to protect your family? Thinking of starting a business? Don't let legal questions hold you back. LegalZoom. Help with the right solutions for over 19 years. Protect your family with a living will, a trust, start a business with a DBA, LLC, or nonprofit. Mark Garagos, the aforementioned Mark Garagos, says all the time that he not only uses LegalZoom, but sort of refers people to LegalZoom, which is basically, I can build furniture, and if I need to build a custom piece, I can build a custom piece, but if I can find it at IKEA, I'm going to get it at IKEA. It's going to save me time. It's going to save me money. And that's what Garagos does with LegalZoom. It's not even worth getting his billable hours. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so you won't have to leave home, and you won't get charged by the hour. It is the best. It's LegalZoom, right, Dawson?
Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of some important things you need to get done. That's LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
All right, what else, Gina?
I want to put up a picture of a very, very beautiful woman. Go ahead, Kaylin. And not me again, but that's flattering. Got it?
Nope. Oh, yeah. There's even better pictures of her as well that I saw probably when I was watching TMZ.
I'm sorry, Brian. Did you just yell nope?
that was Tessa.
That was Tessa.
Okay.
No, I got.
We're looking at
it.
Yeah.
I got to say, you know, it was like the first transsexual to be on.
Transgender.
Transgender. What is the difference between transgender and transsexual? Or we just say that?
Besides,
now?
I just don't think you say transsexual anymore. That's not.
Oh. First transgender to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I guess, or Swimsuit Edition,
yes.
whatever it is. But there's a picture of this individual's face. And I kind of had the same thing, which is like, okay, what do we need? And then I saw a picture of this person's face. I was like, this is the best looking person in the world.
Yeah. Valentina Sampaio. She's 23 years old, Brazilian, and like Adam said, first transgender model in this Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Now, Brazil, apparently not an easy place to be any sort of an outcast. She says, I was born trans in a remote, humble fishing village in northern Brazil. Brazil is a beautiful country, but it also hosts the highest number of violent crimes and murders against the trans community in the world. 3 times that of the U.S. That's according to data from the National Association of Trans People and Transsexuals. So uh-huh. maybe they can say it, but I wouldn't advise it.
Transsexual is just physical. Transgender is both psychological or physical, psychological and emotional or whatever.
Yeah, it's everything. Mm-hmm. Like that's associated with
I just don't hear that word.
Transsexual.
Ever.
Well, look at this picture.
I mean, come on.
I mean, come on.
Kaia Gerber, I mean, move over.
Yeah, looks like a 19-year-old Brooke Shields.
My God. So, yeah, the magazine, of course, had something to say about it. They said, our goal in selecting who we feature is centered around identifying some of the most inspiring, interesting, and multidimensional women that we can find. Boy, yeah. Oh, boy.
I don't know, though. Should we be inspired when someone switches genders? Like,
if they can make the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
Yeah, that's a pretty big leap.
Yeah, no, she did it. She did it well. There's no
flawlessly.
No doubt about that. If I was Caitlyn Jenner, I wouldn't walk the red carpet too close to her. I'd stay a couple of steps back, you know. See if I could slide someone in there in between, maybe Flip Wilson's Geraldine or something like that. You know, if I could, I don't know.
Some of the kids in the hall.
I'm just vamping here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Like the bird lady or whatever.
Yeah. The bird lady.
Or chicken man or whatever that person is.
That's because it came straight out of my body and onto your plate.
Yes. Yeah.
Mark McKinney.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably a good call. So I made a big deal was made a while back about USC boasting about being the first school to announce that they're completely reopening in the fall and they're going to make it work. They have walked that back in a big old way. They made the announcement, I think, like a month ago, and they've reverted to mostly completely online classes. Undergraduate students will primarily take courses online come August, and on campus and housing and activities will be very limited. The school letter says Los Angeles is experiencing an alarming spike in coronavirus cases, making it clear we need to dramatically reduce our on-campus density and all indoor activities for the fall. Housing's going to be cut to almost nothing, and they're going to reserve some housing for quarantining. So nice. You're not really going to see people.
Indoor activities specifically excludes football.
That's another story I have, that the Ivy League schools have already said, not that I don't know how you know much people care about Ivy League sports, but they're not doing it in the fall.
I'll tell you who gives a shit. Dean Cain. That's for sure, sister.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He's was a standout defensive back at Princeton.
Oh, he's going to probably have some stern words for these guys.
Set some records. I got to tell you, I talked to my son about this yesterday. Evidently, they're just kind of done with school learning because, like he said, we're coming back. I was like, yeah, how's that work? Well, there's two groups. There's the Monday, Wednesday group and then the Tuesday, Thursday group. And I'm like, what time does school start? It's like 8:30. I'm like, what time's it end? 1 o'clock. We're not going a full day. And I'm like,
and there's still a Friday. What are we doing on Friday?
No.
That's, canceled. Yeah, long weekend.
You don't know about viral load. You have to. There's a couple things working here. There's herd immunity, viral load, and teachers wanting to get paid, not fucking wanting to show up, like all of us, like the rest of humanity. Well, but now they have this umbrella of safety and kids and the family and all this kind of stuff. Like every day's a fucking 3-day weekend. On 3-day weekends, like when there is an official holiday on Monday, I don't know how the Monday Wednesday crew's going to work, but I mean, we're talking about super light lifting. Like it is literally not even a part time job worth of education.
So wait a second, nothing on the alternate days? It's not online. They just are off.
They're supposed to be doing the home version of this, but from what I've gleaned from the home version, it's about 45 minutes a day. Like this is a perfect storm. I've been telling you for a million years, teachers don't like, everyone likes getting paid. No one likes going in. And if you can get paid to not go in, then you got a fucking dream job. Wait a minute, you two. What the fuck is going on? So that's what
bitch.
They're getting full freight and they're just doing it from home. And every day is a fucking 3-day weekend. And I'm sure that I'll get pissed if they heard this, but this is how it's coming down, man. They're just backing it. I mean, can you imagine being in ninth grade, hating school? This is the greatest mitzvah ever.
That's beshert. And you know how you always talk about brick and mortar and we're going to be done with brick and mortar learning? Yes. And I've always felt very strongly against that. I'm like, oh, you can say that all you want, but there's nothing more exhilarating than going to your college campus and starting that life. Now I'm really believe you because we are getting so used to staying home. It's not like, oh, fuck these high school walls. I want a bigger, you know, microcosm. I want college. Mm. Now nobody's leaving the house, so who cares?
Yeah. I mean, it is, we're heading toward this. Look, if you're curious, you've got a phone and that'll tell you many, many things you need to know in life. If you're curious, if you're not curious, then sitting in a room and having some guy in a turtleneck sweater lecture is really not going to make a difference anyway. So I do think we're moving toward the time of whatever the opposite of a Renaissance man is.
Dark ages.
Yes. Yeah. But
specialized.
Like, so I grew up sort of thinking, you know, that the, you know, you think about, I don't know, Theodore Roosevelt, like, oh, that guy could box and he was a scholar and he could, he was an outdoorsman and he could write beautiful sonnets. And you go that this guy, you know, brawn and brain and the Renaissance man, like that's like, now it's all just, you got to be good at coding. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be able to fix anything or do anything or fuck or fight or you know, pop the hood. Let me get the car started and let me gap the plugs. It's just you get really good at one thing. You get paid a lot for doing that one thing. And then you farm out everything else around you. And that's kind of what we're getting. So this whole sort of well-rounded education is fine, but really it's more like get good at one thing, get paid for that one thing. And then if you're curious, you know, I mean, how many people have become wonderful chefs, cooks, and foodies over the last 10 years through just being good at something with the computer, then having time, then taking a few culinary classes online or whatever, then bringing in chefs or tutors or whatever, you know? I mean, you know, guy like Jimmy Kimmel's like, probably getting close to a Michelin rated chef just because that's his interest. That's his particular interest. He doesn't like cars. He likes being a chef. And he's thus educated himself to the point where he's going to be better than most chefs. And Jay Leno wants Chick-fil-A. Good luck. But he's become a car expert and he knows everything about cars just because that's how they've educated themselves. I think that's, and, you know, if you wanted to bring Kimmel into Leno's garage and teach him all about the internal combustion engine, and if you wanted to bring Leno into Kimmel's kitchen and tell him the difference between saute and flambe, he'd be bored off his fucking ass. And so would Kimmel. They'd both be bored. They'd be just standing there just going, okay, when is this going to end so I can get back to my kitchen or my garage? I think that's now where we're at. 100%. That's where we're at. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
Okay, you got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe, number one bad sign. Number one sign of a bad home security system is that it's complicated. And if it's complicated, then you won't use it. And then how could it work if you don't use it? Simply Safe. It is safer, it's easier, and it is simpler. That's how it works. Designed to be easy to use while protecting your whole home 24/7. Order online, open the box, place the sensors, peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. Plug it in. No technician or salesperson is going to come disrupt your house. No outrageous monthly fees. It's the one I've always used in my house. It works great. It's up and running in under an hour. And it's been named, by the way, the best overall home security of 2020 by U.S. and World Report. 24/7 professional monitoring, emergency dispatch, all starts at just 50 cents a day. Right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know you, that our show sent you.
So I had a really eye-opening, interesting, informative talk with a young black woman named Chloe Valdere, and we put it on Take a Knee, and a couple people heard it, including, who heard it? Who told me to
do it? Super fan Giovanni.
She's like, that was a great conversation. Now, you know, it's good timing, I think. We should put it up there. We should play it on the main show. It was a very informative, interesting conversation. She had an article in USA Today about racism. And she's, I don't know what her politics are, but she's very open minded, but also will challenge you on some ideas. So we had a very interesting conversation, and I thought I would share that with you guys. So I'll say that good sports is no good sports after that. Also, I'm going to be in Dallas, theoretically, Addison, Texas, at the Improv July 24th and 25th. You can go to amcroll.com for all the live stuff. And you can, my book is up at Amazon now. It's back.
The actual paperback version.
Yeah, the hardcover. So you can go to Amazon and bookmark us and click through us and enjoy that. And until next time, we'll do Chloe. And Bald and Brian and Bald and Brian and Gina and Vinny, and enjoy some Chloe Valdery.